I want us just to listen intently to what Scott has to share with us tonight, because I've known him for years. I've been in services with him where God's moved. I remember the first time he laid hands on me, anointed me with oil. It was at Tommy's Barnett's. I don't even know if you remember. It was the night that Jim Baker spoke, and they had the big deal, and you guys had buckets of oil you were sticking your hands in. Yeah, I got slopped by him. But anyway, I just want us to just give our full attention, because what he has to say, I'm going to tell you, comes from the heart of God. Amen? Let's just enjoy him.
Praise the Lord. So I just slopped you, huh?
Yeah.
That's a great introduction. Actually, I remember that night we had, it was one of those, you know, prayer lines, and we had it at the church there, old Brother Boer. And that was, I mean, he was probably around when Moby Dick was a minnow. And it was a laying on of hands service, and we were so shocked at Brother Boer, because it was kind of like the last wave of energy in his life. He, a little later, went home to be with the Lord, but he was like jumping up and slapping people and knocking them down almost, and things that, you know, everybody shrinks in horror from. You read in the newspaper, but here you had an old boy who was 2 days older than dirt, and man, this was his last shot, and he was going to rock and roll. He was our hospital pastor, led thousands of people to the Lord in the hospital there, and Pastor Don got slopped that night. Okay. Great, I can add that to the history books. But look, it's great to be here with you. I bring you greetings from America's greatest mission field, the state of New Jersey. If anyone here has seen or knows about Jersey Shore MTV, I know most of you are so saved, you'd have absolutely no idea what kind of program that is. That's where I am. Right there. That is our mission field. That's where we live. That's where we work. That's where we are plowing ground to see the Lord raise up a work. Forgive me, but most folks in the Bible Belt don't get it how it is back there. We are like in Europe in many ways, but we see God do amazing things, and you talk about divine appointments. I've been gone from the state of New Jersey for 40 years. I left before diapers. But anyway, and so my wife and I and a pastor friend of ours from Dallas are out eating at one of the great Jersey pizza parlors there. And so we sit down, and all of a sudden a gal walks in, sits down, starts to sit with three other gals in front of us, and turns around and stares at me. You know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking when a blonde-headed lady walks in, you're with her, and she looks at you and goes, "I know you." And you're thinking, all of a sudden your mind races throughout your lifetime. And my first thought is, I don't know. And then she gives me her last name. And I said, "Oh my gosh." I said, "We grew up together." I said, "I just drove through the old neighborhood and drove past your home and just thought about your family." That this lady is no more near Christian than the frog in a creek bank someplace else. And, you know, we talked for a few minutes, and she said, "I saw you on television." And my wife said, because I did a thing on TBN, and she said, my wife says, "Do you watch TBN?" She says, "No, I was just flipping through the channels, saw your name, picked up the phone, called another person who grew up in the neighborhood who lives in Florida and says, get a load of this. Guess who I just saw?" So, and it was a great opportunity because actually she works in a financial company, and her office is right in front of the apartment building that we live in. And, you know, what are we doing back here? Well, we're here to start a church. Okay, hallelujah. So it's, you know, and I'm a Jewish kid from New Jersey. I'm not a Baptist or Pentecostal in the background. I'm just a Jewish kid. I was a drug addict and thrown out of the state a long time ago. Met Jesus in a parking lot, and he changed me. But really tonight, I am so excited about this weekend. I mean, how many of you love your pastor? I think he is one of the greatest hearts in the kingdom of God. I really do. Don, I love you. And not just because you fed me, when I got off the plane either. But really tonight, I want you to open your Bibles, if you have one, to Acts chapter 10. And I really am excited about tonight. This is our kind of our opening salvo for the weekend. Tomorrow is going to really help us make a difference in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And Sunday morning and evening is going to be a very powerful time. We're kind of designing this weekend to be a massive infusion in our life. But in Acts 10, verse 37, we read this passage. "That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did." Now tonight I really want to talk to you about themes. The theme of our life. Let's back up for a moment and examine what we just read here. Verse 37, "That word you know," interesting, "which is proclaimed throughout all Judea." Here's the deal. The word was out about Jesus, man. Everybody knew what's up. 411 about Jesus was spread all over the land. What he was known for was easy to connect with. Really, the theme of his life. Themes. Everybody has theme songs. I mean, all kind of, if I were to play a certain, and I won't try to hum it because otherwise you would shut down the meeting, kick me out, and never come back here again, and I don't want that to happen. But I mean, there's all kinds of TVs and movies have themes. If you were to play a certain song, the Rocky, you hear the Rocky theme, bang, everybody knows what it is. Star Wars, I mean, these are just universal themes. Couples have their song. I mean, you know, you hear a song and you look at your wife, even if you're 87 and she's 85 and they play that song, you go, that's our song. And there's theme songs, you know. I like that song by Bonnie Raitt. You know, let's give them something to talk about. I mean, I won't sing it, but that song kind of produces a little bit of sass, a little bit of attitude in you, you know. And then you've got the voice of Barry White. Now, you know, look, when you hear that Barry White voice and that, oh, I mean, it's love. Anyway, moving right along. You know, you got all of these guys. I mean, there's songs that inspire us to fight. There's songs that you know, I listen to a song on the radio and it takes me back to a time. It's a theme of a time in my life. And we can find the theme of Jesus' life in the book as we read verse 38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil." This, as we read, this is what Jesus was known for. This was the scoop, the 411 about Jesus. It was his theme. The definition of theme, I mean, a theme musically is a main melody upon which a musical composition is written. Or it is the discourse or an essay or a literary work. You know, the Bible makes an interesting statement. It says, you and I are literary works. What do we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2? You are our epistle or letter written on our hearts and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Our theme, the theme of our life is based upon two things, what you say and how we act or what we do. This is what people know us for. Believers in churches have themes being played about them. Some are stated, some are unstated. Preachers have them too. Some are known more for what they're against. You've heard them on the radio than what they're for. Because all you hear is what they are against. They might be against drugs and alcohol and nicotine. They might be against immorality. They might be against same-sex marriage. They might be against Democrats or Republicans or liberals or be against left wings, right wings, or ding-a-lings. I don't know. They might be against flaky religion. Some churches are against being happy. I can tell by all the people when they sit there, they look absolutely miserable throughout the entire service. Not paying any attention to when the Bible says rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No, they've been too busy being baptized in lemon juice. Now, I'm against just about everything I mentioned here as well. I'm against sin and the devil, but most importantly, I am for people. You see, the more you sing a theme song, the more you sing a tune, the more likely it will become your theme. Once again, it is what you are known for, what you say, what you do, what you portray. Remember, the word was out about Jesus. Jesus had a reputation. It preceded him. It was simply this. Jesus did good and healed all who were oppressed of the devil. This is what Jesus was known for. Not his robe, not being spooky and mystical, not being strange, not wearing sandals, not walking around. But he was known for doing good, this was the press, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. What he did evidenced God's power and anointing upon his life. Jesus said, Father, as you've sent me into the world, I've also sent them, John 17:18. You see, I'd like to be known for what Jesus was known for. How about you? You know, I was speaking the other day, and I really get disturbed when believers and preachers are known more for their political stance than they're following Jesus Christ. And I know, as I was preaching in a crowd the other day, there was a former evangelist there. I don't know whether he still considers himself that or not, but he is known more in the county now for his political involvement than the preaching of the gospel. And while I personally owe that man a great debt, I think, what a demotion in your reputation. You see, the world's condition is ripe for God's people to portray, to exemplify the theme of Jesus Christ in the world that we live in. The symphony of Jesus is what we ought to play. I want his theme to be my theme. What is some of his theme? I played in bands and orchestras growing up. John 10:10. Jesus said this, I have come that you might have, somebody help me here, life. I know this is told, everybody knows the Bible here. Come that you might have life. I want to be known for someone who brings life. That's why we have called our ministry in New Jersey, Jersey Life. We thought we want to be known for portraying life. Wouldn't it be great for you to be known when you come in? You know, some people like to be known as the life of the party. I want to be known for bringing a little life in a world that's marked for death. That's part of the theme of Jesus' life. We read that he did good. What is doing good? Feeding the hungry multitudes. We saw that. How many things a good thing to feed hungry folk? What I'm really thrilled about is the little office that we've rented to birth our outreach. And thank you guys for being such a great part and partnering with us. Is we are right across the parking lot from the county soup kitchen. Man, I thought, you know, we moved into this city, and we thought, man, downtown is really funky. It's really cool. Wouldn't it be great to have an office down here and begin all of this? And, you know, very artsy place, and Springsteen and Bon Jovi hang out around there. You know, my wife was working out at the gym. She said, Scott, I had a Springsteen sighting. I said, oh, he saw you. Delayed, but worth the wait, okay? And I thought, that's terrific. You know, but
I thought, man, it'd be great to be in this area. But no, we all right across it, man, we've developed a partnership. Mission teams come in, and man, we're there serving. We're playing music. We're ministering to folks. We're having a food drive in our own embryonic state. But Jesus fed the hungry multitudes. He provided. Man, he paid taxes. How many of you would love to have your taxes paid by finding a coin in the mouth of a fish? I'm already looking for a fish like that come April because I know what's going to happen. He helped people in all kinds of needs. Jesus was known for doing good. Folks, if our churches closed down, would they be missed? Does anybody even know we are where we are? Have we done good for our community? Have we done good for our neighborhood? Have we brought a little life to a world marked for death? Luke 19:10 is something else. We read that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He was known for going out of his way to connect with people that were not part of the family of God. This is a whole interesting concept. He went to seek and save the lost. So often we say, God, bring the people that don't know you to our church. Where in the world did that ever come from? It's surely not in the Bible. I mean, seriously, it's kind of like if we pray that and that's all we do, it's like praying, fish, jump in the boat. Now, on occasion they do, but not very often. We have any avid fishermen here? Guys who've done a bit of fishing in their life? Don, if you were a surfer, you were around the water. We'll take it there. I know this is Oklahoma. Have you ever seen fish jump into a boat? Have you ever seen flying fish? Yes. Most of us have, at least on television a while back ago when they had that 20-pound Japanese carp that jumped out of the water, hit a guy in the chest, knocked him out of the boat. Now, that doesn't happen very often, though. That is not the norm. Jesus came to seek and say, I want to be known for that. He went out of his way looking for people that were not part of the family of God, whatever that song was. You see, that's part of the theme of Jesus' life. We read he healed all who were oppressed of the devil. That's a nice religious church term. What does that mean? In today's world, it means drug addicts, alcoholics, the poor, the indigent, the runaways, the neglected children, the battered housewife, the sick and infirm. All who were oppressed of the devil. He brought healing to their life. We read in Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How often we want the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us. Because he has anointed me not to feel good and to prophesy, but to bring good news, healing, freedom, liberty, to those who are oppressed to the end. That is part of the theme of Jesus' life. Jesus was known for forgiving freely. My goodness, a local woman of the night, dark woman, woman that had been married so many times, most churches wouldn't let her sing in the choir. Forgave. Go and sin no more, the phrase has been spoken. Unless the worst thing come to you. You know, it's funny. Everybody believes in forgiveness until we actually have to forgive somebody. I mean, not a person. Do you believe in forgiveness? Absolutely. Well, then you need to forgive them. I've been faced with that. I've had the one person in my world that I really would not have cared if he died and went to hell. Oh, I'm not being humorous, being absolutely honest. If I were to, you know, and I could describe what he's done, and you may share my feeling. And the Lord brought him back into my life within the past couple of months, dying. calling out for my help. Everybody believes in forgiveness till we actually. I want to be known for forgiving folk. I'd rather err on the side of mercy and forgiveness than on the side of self-righteousness and judgment. There is a judge, and he got all the facts more than I do. I want to be known as the light of the world, brightening the lives of those around us who are living in incredible darkness, bringing hope to the hopeless. That song we sang, God of the City, that is an anthem for any believer in any church that has at least one oar in the water trying to stream along with God. Every time we sing that in Jersey, man, it's kind of like everybody stands up and goes, yes, that's our declaration. We need it. We have 1 million people, and maybe 5 to 7% on a generous day have had any kind of evangelical background ever. Like Europe. I want to be known for having the fruity. I want to be a little fruity. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, God, let these words be included in the theme of my life. I want to be known for having the cry and passion of Rachel. Remember Genesis 30, she said, give me children or else I'll die. She was passionate about giving birth to a child. Friends, I want to be known for being passionate for having people born into the kingdom of God and raised in the house of God to serve the world in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. I want to be a friend of sinners. How many of us know sinners? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you would interact with sinners? How many folks would say they're interacting with you and they're interacting with a sinner? No, I'm only kidding. We don't have to participate. But boy, sometimes it's nice to be around folk that really need God. I want to be a friend of sinners. You see, Pastor Don's story, the old surf dog, was just that. Going up not to preach, although that probably laid someplace dormant in the back of his mind but was not on the forefront. Just go up and talk to the guy about being a surf dog. Being a friend of sinners. I want to be known as someone that loves folks. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I want to be known as someone that takes advantage of the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil, Paul wrote. The best time is now. The best time to be about the Father's business is now. I want to be known as a man that takes that time. Oh, I could go on and on. Even in darkness, light rises for the upright. You see, this evening, I don't want to take a real long time with you tonight. But I want us to really consider allowing the theme of Jesus to become the theme of our life. Let's go back to Acts 10:38 for just a moment. And we read Acts 10 and verse 37, excuse me. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, excuse me, and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of all the things which he did. Tonight, let me ask, are you interested in having a fresh or a new theme song for your life? How can we retune our instrument? Sometimes our instruments need a little work. I played in high school orchestras, and kind of amazing going back to where I live, and forgive me for these stories, but they're so real and so new. And so when we were holding three crusade rallies in a performing arts theater in August, one night a fellow comes, and man, he's just so astonished. He and I were classmates together and played in the school band. And he said, "Man, wow, I can't believe this. This is you." I'm thinking, well, yeah, you know, I'm getting a lot of that these days. He's a band director. So we start to talk. He starts to come to some of our services. He's involved in another church. So finally I said, "Dave, you know, I've got my old trumpet. My grandson wants to play it." I said, "It's been a little beat a little bit." He said, "Well, bring it to one of the services one night and I'll take a look at it." So I bring the horn, and it's got a few dings and a few things, one or two valve thing issues that need to be taken care of. I said, "Dave, who can I take my horn to?" He says, "Dorian Parriott." I said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "That man was my very first band instructor. That man had his hand on this horn 45 years ago when it came out of the box." He said, "Oh, Scott, you know," and so he said he's done this. And I saw his name where he's retired from teaching and he plays some jazz things. His son has gone on in music. So he said, I said, "Would you call him for me?" I said, I wouldn't, you know, gee whiz, it's been 40 years, and actually I know his brother. His brother was a police officer, and he was there the night that I was arrested with 108 other people on a drug thing. And when I walked into the gym for processing, his brother was sitting there just like this, and they marched me in cuffs and all that. He looked at me and said, "My man, they finally got you." And so I'm thinking, I said, would you make an initial contact for me? So he calls him up and he emails me back. So I call him up and I said, "Is this Dorian?" "Yes." I said, "Forgive me, I'm very uncomfortable calling you by your first name." I said, "Even after all of these years, you are still Mr. Parriott to me." And we began to talk. "I'm going to take my horn to the old master," is the gist of this story. You see, tonight we may need to take our horn or life to the master. Have him retune it. Adjust maybe our valves a little bit. Begin to sing a new theme song. You see, I believe once again that we must play a new theme, the theme of Jesus in the world we live in, if our life is to count and our church is to be significant in the sight of God in the world that we live in. How can we do this tonight? Just a few simple thoughts for you, then I want to take a few minutes to pray together. Number one, simply this, that we make a choice now to consciously change in our approach in the areas that we spoke of. It is a conscious change, a choice. You know, much of our life is based upon our choice and decisions, and obviously the follow-up thereof. But it begins with the choice and the decision that is made. I spoke a message to our outreach the other night on being intentional. We are intentional in so many areas of our life. How many of you are married? Gentlemen, you were intentional, I trust, when you asked that woman to be your wife. Or, sister, you were intentional when you asked him. But nevertheless, you were intentional. Our life and our walk, God responds to being intentional. It's amazing what God does by accident in our lives and in our churches. And he does it because of his greatness. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. He can do anything. He can pull rabbits out of a hat. And he often does with us. But how much more if we were intentional? God desires us to be intentional. He says, call upon me and I will answer you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. With the measure you use, it is measured back to you. All of that and so much more speaks of the intentionality in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I have found myself at times just kind of, even in my prayer life, there was a season when I felt like the Lord spoke to me one day and said, Scott, you do more wishing than you do praying. I thought, but God, hold the phone here. I know that you can, you know my thoughts before I speak them. You know what's in my heart. So do I actually have to stop and say it? And how many of you want to know what the answer is if you don't know already? Yes. Yes, there are times you can't stand up, like I'm on a plane and I can't go, oh, God, because everybody will think we're crashing. Then we'll have to deal with panic and fear, and I will get arrested and I will call your pastor for bail money. We make a choice now to consciously change our approach in these areas. Secondly, this, we ask the Lord to open our heart and our mind and our eyes, talking about retuning our instrument, being known for what Jesus was known for, doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and the other things we spoke about. Thirdly, take a look and alter the input and diet in our life. All of this is very integral in retuning who we are and what we do. Your pastor was sharing with me how strong a teaching gift is in his life. But yet he has made a conscious decision because of the seed of the Word of God in his life to be evangelistic and outreach-oriented. You see, we look, what are we taking into our life? Are we taking things into our life that will help feed and grow and nurture and strengthen that area that we feel like we need to expand in? Fourthly, this, that we begin to take some action, some immediate steps, maybe only a few. Maybe only one or two things at a time. But tonight I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us retune our life. When we began to go to the States, you know, move into New Jersey and do different things, we were with you last July. Where we are is a major resort area. We have hundreds of thousands of people that come to the beaches every year from New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and as well as the locals. That's why it's called the Jersey Shore. And those kids who are not from New Jersey did what they did. Anyway, moving right along. But I hear they're moving to Miami. God help Miami. I pray for my friend Richard down there. All my pastor friends down there have work to do. But we just started to look, what can we do down at the beach? Well, we had a team come in from Kansas, and we're thinking, okay, what can we do down on the boardwalk on the oceanfront? It's summertime. Let's go buy a couple of coolers, get some cases of water. Let's go down. We've got some flyers for our rallies coming up. Got guitars. Let's get out, give free water to people on the beach, talk to them, offer to pray with them, and invite them to something. Now, friends, I didn't need to get a prophecy, a revelation, and 6 months worth of instruction to do that. I was meeting with one of the associates of the largest Spirit-filled church in the state of New Jersey. He and I go way back into our old days together, so we're talking. I said, bro, this is what we were doing this summer. He said, Scott, let me stop you. He said, we never would have thought of doing that. You know, you have the largest charismatic church in the entire state. Great church, incidentally. He said, we would have sent a handful of people down to the boardwalk with tracts and thought we'd have done the kingdom of God a favor. I'm thinking, dude, yeah, we had literature, but like it's summer, boardwalk, hot, water, and everything else. I thought, man, I didn't even think about that. But what it showed me was that they were not tuned to
for that kind of song. Friends, if we want the theme of Jesus to be the theme of our life, we have to allow ourselves to be retuned this evening. All of the notes are listed in the Word of God. It's not a musical composition that's never been written. The ink is on the page. Friends, I believe this weekend we can really see God begin to shape and form and reform us as weapons that will be launched against the enemy and will prosper because they'll hit their target. But tonight, how many of you say, Scott, I want a new theme for my life. I want the theme of Jesus to be the theme of my life. How many of you would say that here this evening? Would you stand with me for just a few moments? The theme of Jesus' life to become ours. Lord, we read that you said, Fathers, you've sent me. I've sent them. So, Lord, we can very rightfully appropriate your theme and allow it to be played by your Spirit through our life. Friends, would you just raise your hands to the Lord for a moment and really express thanksgiving to God for his goodness and his loving kindness and his grace. Lord, we thank you. Lord, the first notes out of our mouth and our hearts should be that of thanksgiving and honor and glory and praise to you tonight. Lord, as we embark upon this weekend, Lord, that will be much more than just simply instruction and application. But God, that there would somehow be an impartation in our mind and in our heart and in our life, not just now, but every day. Holy Spirit, come. And as we invite, as we have simply acknowledged, Lord, we want to sing the theme. We want the theme to be played through our life of doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the enemy. God, that our lives would be retuned to fulfill the will that you have designed for every one of us, Lord, to be elements of influence in the world that we live in. Father, retune us. Lord, just as I contacted Mr. Parriott about working on a horn, Lord, work on the horns of our life, the vessels of our life this evening. Oh, God, our thinking, our heart, our spirit. Holy Spirit, come tonight. Lord, the word that was spoken, Father, let it be planted deeply. God, deep enough that it just begins to rattle around in the depths of our being. Begin to spread out, Lord, bringing strength, bringing life, bringing thoughts. Holy Spirit, come this evening. Lord, we love you. We bless you tonight. We worship you, Father. Lord, tonight, reform us, retune us. Lord, we bless you. We thank you tonight. You know, it may seem form and ritual, but would you give God an honest expression of thanksgiving here right now? Would you do that just however you would feel appropriate? Clap, speak. I mean, if you're silent and that's the depths of your expression, that's okay. But Lord, we thank you tonight and we praise you. Lord, we love you. Oh, God, we thank you tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you. We worship. We adore you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. You know, I would not want anyone to leave this place who came with a need in their life. You came to the meeting, but maybe it is a need physically to be prayed for healing. I believe that Jesus not only forgives our sins, but the Bible says he heals our diseases. As we heard earlier, he is a healer. This one fellow that came back into my life calls me periodically. As I said, he's stage 4 pancreatic cancer, about the end of his life. He's on so many meds that most of the time he's not thinking very clearly. He carries a truckload of guilt because of what he did to all of his family for so many years. But it's amazing to see how the Lord is answering prayer. He called me up last night, freaking out because he had lost some medication.
And without it, he would be in a very serious way. He's almost in tears. I said, "This is what I want you to do. We're going to hang up the phone. I want you to take a deep breath and go take a fresh look around your little apartment. I bet you find them." He said, "Will you call me back in 30 minutes? I said, "Yes." And so after I hung up the phone, I just prayed, "Father, in the name of Jesus, help him find those pills." So I called him back in 30 minutes. I told him I would. He said, "I can't believe the power of prayer. 5 minutes after you hung up, I found my pills." Now that may not seem like a big deal to you, but we're seeing in working with this fellow little by little, these things are happening. I believe that God answers prayer. Tonight, if you came with a need in your life, we heard a great testimony of healing, one of God helping us find. So I prayed and asked the Lord, "Help me find my keys and my glasses." And with all of the great things on his mind, he's helped me find my keys and glasses. I believe we serve a God just like that. Do you have a personal need in your life? Maybe it's physical here this evening you'd like us to pray with you about. Love to do it right now. That's okay. Like I said, I would hate to have a meeting and not, you spread the table and invite no one to come and dine. That's an indictment. Father, tonight we give you thanks. We praise you, we bless you. I pray your blessing and your strength upon the people this evening. Lord, as we prepare our hearts and get ready for tomorrow and throughout this weekend, in Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord.